Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, we and it's funny. I knew you in 1992, so that was it doesn't feel like it was that long ago. But yes, no. my daughter just turned 9. My son just turned 7.
Awesome.
And I just turned 50 not too long ago. So there you go.
And still covering the Yankees brilliantly, I might add. So let's get to this team. Now, I know he's not getting $36 million this year because everything's prorated. But the $36 million arm is going out there tonight. This is why they brought him in. When you've watched Gerrit Cole pitch, what kind of mastery have you seen out there?
I just love his mentality. And I remember this is what C.C. Sabathia brought when he came here in 2009. He knew he got a lot of money to go out there and take the ball even more than what he was supposed to, and win the games he was supposed to. And it's like it's this portion of the contract in your prime first few years that you really pay off here. You know, as you get older, we all know what happens. But this is, you know, this is the kind of game the Yankees wanted Gerrit Cole to pitch this year. Unfortunately, it's on 3 days rest, which he's never done before.
That's
so
right.
I'm curious to see how he responds to this. What's working? How much is his fastball going where it's supposed to? Is it down a tick or is it the same? Is he maybe compensating, overthrowing it? Maybe getting a little bit extra MPH, but maybe missing a little in spots. What's it doing to his breaking ball? I don't know how all that responds to him, but my gut kind of tells me that if it's working well enough, you see him 2 times through the order, and then you start maneuvering. So if you can get 4+ or 5 innings out of this guy tonight, I think he will have done what he's supposed to. And hopefully, for the Yankees' sake, they get a couple of early runs, and they can manage their bullpen the way they want rather than trying to chase to get the W.
And I'll slip in the State College Spikes guys. Tyler Glass now goes for Tampa Bay tonight, pitching
yeah.
Spikes. And Luke Voit.
Hey, Luke Voit is a former State College Spike, too.
Yes, he is. He was here as a catcher and a first baseman, and you could see he had it. And he led the league in home runs this year. What did it do for – sometimes when a guy does what he is supposed to do, it gives everybody else a lift. Luke Voit had not done much in the postseason. What did that home run early do, actually, do you think, for everybody else? Because now a guy that does that did it.
Yeah, I think more than who it was last night, the more important part, Steve, was when it was. It happened early in the game. It got the Yankees the lead. And when you're playing with the no tomorrow, so to speak, you really needed that early lead to get you going. Voit has been pretty quiet this postseason. Giancarlo Stanton hasn't, so it's not like they've gotten here because other guys have done a few things. I think it did a lot for him. Voit's a guy who, he's been in a couple of postseasons now, but he's still relatively young compared to some of the rest of the Yankees who played some of these postseason battles here. I talked to him about it maybe a week ago before this series started, and he indicated that, really what he's learned is that you can't get too down after an at-bat or 2 at-bats. You really have to push it aside because, you're not playing the long game here. You're not talking about, I'm bad this week. I've got 4 more months to make it up. You've got to put it aside pretty quickly. And those are lessons that, even for Voit, were still pretty hard to learn. I mean, you go back to his days as a State College Spike or anybody else in the anywhere else in the Cardinals minor league system, he's the guy that, took his slumps and his strikeouts pretty hard from the coaches I've talked to.
Yes, I can tell you.
Back to the dugout.
Yeah, I can tell you he did. If he's a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Luke is a perfectionist. And that's why you're right. He'd take it hard.
And that part you have to learn to get past you. There's this, he was 1 for 11 or something like that. The walks back to the dugout I think got a little long, but it was huge for him just be able to do that and get going into tonight. That's all you need are guys to have confidence. Giancarlo Stanton does because he's been mashing the ball. Gleyber Torres, Luke Voit, both needed that last night. And, early lead is all either of these guys are looking for, because they both have plans, I'm sure, for how they want to roll their bullpen out if they have a lead.
Yeah, no doubt. Next time you get a chance to talk to him, if you can remember, pass along my best to him, because, I mean, great guy to be around. Greg, terrific here, great guy to be around. I really enjoyed announcing his games. Okay, so now let's get to the next part of this, the catching part of it. The casual fan will say, yeah, Gary Sanchez. That's not the case here. What has allowed Sanchez to find the bench in all of this, and how do the Yankees want to handle it tonight?
He just hasn't been able to make enough contact, and it's a pretty important part of baseball. And, you can, I told you about the long game, you can play the long game with Gary Sanchez while he's slumping in a regular season, and now you can't. And, as we talk to Yankee fans on our radio station or on social media, it's like, when Gary Sanchez, I'll use a normal season as an example, not the 60 game, but when Gary Sanchez goes, 0-for-4 in May, everybody wants to see him on the bench. Well, the Yankees aren't going to do that. You play the long game here. And I think the fear that everybody has is that it's, when it comes to the important game, that management isn't going to have the guts to put him on the bench. Well, we've seen what's happened over the course of these last few games. Kyle Higashioka has become the Yankees' number one catcher. And the Yankees can say all they want about being day-to-day and all that, but day-to-day, Sanchez is nowhere to be found. Reason's pretty easy. He's not hitting, okay? If he was hitting, none of his issues, defensively or anything else, would be as big a deal. He'd be back there. He hasn't been able to hit velocity for some reason. He just hasn't been able to catch up to it. And Kyle Higashioka's doing everything he needs to do right now. He's an excellent defensive catcher. And the thing about, he had a big hit last night. He's the thing that guys like Higashioka, Austin Romine taught me this too. When you're batting at the bottom of the Yankees batting order, you're going to get a pitch to hit probably one of the first two pitches, because nobody wants to risk falling behind you, walking you, and turning it over from the top of the order and facing all those monsters again and giving a guy a free base. You're going to get a fastball to put in play and try to hit it at somebody. And, the Yankee catchers who bat in that bottom of the order that aren't guys like Gary Sanchez learn to figure out how to put the ball in play every once in a while. Higashioka did that last night, and he's an excellent defender. I think we've seen that on display already a couple of times.
Yeah, no question about that. It's interesting. I don't know how you feel about analytics. I think it's extremely useful tool, but to me, it's a tool. I think if you do everything by gut feel and instinct, you're not going to succeed all the way through. If you do everything by analytics, you're not going to succeed and get through. I think it's an important tool to help you then manage with gut and instinct. That's how I view it. That's why I find it interesting that the two games in this series where an opener was used, neither team won.
It's a lot more goes into that. Part of it is buying in. One thing the Rays are really good at is how they bought into this. And maybe it's because they had an entire season to deal with it and get through a season, see how successful it can be. Jay Happ, it just didn't seem like he was, as much as he accepted that he had to do that, he didn't seem to display the confidence that it was going to work.
That's right.
Yeah, and he didn't sit and pitch well. Last night the Yankees rolled out everybody behind Jordan Montgomery. The plan works great when guys get people out. Chad Green, Zach Britton, Aroldis Chapman, 1-2-3. They didn't give up a single hit over the last five innings. Plans run awry when the guys give up hits. And, I'm not quite sure. I'm still not sure why Davey Garcia wasn't allowed to go further through game number two, especially considering that he has an outstanding changeup that's effective against left-handers. And when you have that many left-handers in the lineup, you should not be afraid of them because of Garcia and his changeup. I would hate to think, I mentioned this earlier on our station, Steve, I would hate to think that the Yankees could play 45 innings of baseball and Davey Garcia would only pitch in one of them. There has to be a way, depending how far Cole goes tonight, that he sees some action tonight. Because if he wins, then he might be in line to start on Sunday, depending on usage and all that stuff. But I would really like to think that he's got to have some important outs to get you tonight.
How concerning would it be for the Yankees if Tampa Bay lines it up, Glasnow goes six, and they go to their bullpen, especially Anderson?
Their bullpen is absolutely something. Like, if they've got a lead, I don't know if Glasnow can go six. I mean, you know, 2 days rest after 93 pitches. I'm looking at, you know, I don't know what I'm looking at, but I don't think it's more than two, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, they've got Snell, who the Yankees have had, you know, some success against. But yeah, I think between Fairbanks, Anderson, and Castillo, none of them pitched last night. Those are three guys that can get you pretty far if you get to a point with a lead through, say, I don't know, four innings. So I'm, it's a concern. It's a pretty big concern, to answer the question you asked, because those are three guys that I think can lock something down if you're in a position to do it midway through the game.
What do you think of Aaron Boone, the job he's done?
He's a good manager, you know, and I think a lot of it is, you tend to, like, going back to game two, people tend to blame Aaron Boone. Well, this is baseball in 2020 is not authoritarian. It is a team effort here, front office, analytics, coaches, and there's a plan that's in place that, it's collaborative effort. And for those of you who want to go back to the old-fashioned ways, let me just listen. I'm 50 years old, okay, so I have a little bit of an old-fashioned bent to me, Steve. But I will tell you this: I talk to a lot of people around the game who understand the collaborative part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the idea is this: this isn't just a game or a baseball team you're managing. You're in charge of a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Let's be honest,
yes.
Okay? Professional sports is a business, and a professional baseball team is worth millions and, in some cases, billions of dollars. So am I really going to tell one guy that he can do whatever he wants to for the 3 hours of that game? You wouldn't run any business that way. And I think that's, you know, maybe there are people listening who are rolling their eyes and telling me that I'm nuts, but that's the reality of what you are asking a manager to do. And for that reason, I think it's actually a good idea to have some checks and balances. But I can understand when you think somebody leans too far one way or the other as far as information or gut feel or whatever. But I don't want the manager of my team just telling me my gut told me to do that. I want him to explain to me why he did something. Aaron Boone is good at explaining to you why something happened. It doesn't mean it had to work, Steve.
Right.
If he gives you all the reasons of, okay, if this happened, this happened, this happened, then we would have done this. There are reasons for it. You know, and as I said, unfortunately, the plan doesn't work if your pitchers don't get guys out. And that's kind of
right.
What happened.
Exactly. One last question. I look at the immense talent of an Aaron Judge, and everyone sees the power. I see the power in a guy that's a really, really good defensive player. Arm, angles, everything. What's it like to cover him on an everyday basis?
I think he's a phenomenal talent. You're right. And he's a tremendous baseball player. He is not just a slugger. I remember, you know, the first spring training where he was still a minor league guy, so I guess it was probably 2016. I make a habit of going over to see the other teams in spring training games and to talk to players or coaches that I know or whatever. And every time the Yankees would come out for batting practice, the other teams on the field, I can count probably four different times that spring where I'd be on the field with my back turned to the Yankees, and the person I'm talking to says, "Who is that?" And, you know, after a while, you turn around, you see, you know, it's 6'7", 200 and whatever, you know, 50-pound linebacker. I didn't have to turn around after the second or third time because I knew they were talking about Aaron Judge. He catches your attention right away. He's a tremendous baseball player. I just really wish there was a way to keep him healthy and on the field. I've heard fans describe him as soft, but if you think about the cracked rib that he was put on the injured list with, got him a slow start in the spring, he had that injury last fall, worked out with it all winter long, reported to spring training, finally said, something's not right. Okay, that's 6 months with a cracked rib, Steve. That's not soft. That's the exact opposite of soft. Okay, he gets injuries because he plays hard and he's got a body built more for football or basketball than he does for baseball. That's a different argument. I don't know that there's a way to keep him on the field for 155 games. I really don't. You might be better off trying to get him on the field for 130 and maximizing that talent, because his body is, might not be able to take the rigors of 162. Hardly anybody is anymore. So I would really like to figure out how to see him play 130 games for the next 5 years, because we've seen the talent, but I think he really takes his place in this game if he's able to do it consistently for a few years, and that's staying on the field.
Sweeney, it's always a pleasure. Anytime I get the chance to spend any time with you, I cherish it. Thank you so much.
Steve, it's my pleasure. Love catching up with you. Glad I got a chance to see you last fall. And maybe one of these days again, I will.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it very much. Thank you, my friend.
You bet, Steve. Thanks for having me.